call the meeting to order.
Chuck Anderson.
Here.
Ankine Antara.
Here.
Rodrigo Argueta. Fred Blair. Lydia Brissog.
Here.
Stephen Brooks.
Here.
Chris Condon.
Here.
John Cruncho requested an excused absence. Ariana Gladney.
Here.
Tej Graywalker.
Presented.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
Nancy Kazar.
Here.
Fred Klunger. Jim Lafferty.
Here.
Brenda Medina.
She requested that he do this without the
Dutch Merrick requested an excused absence. Michael Novick.
Present.
John Parker.
Here.
Steve Pye.
Here.
Summer Reed. Lawrence Reyes. Ron Friestenbach.
Present.
John Wenger.
Present. Here.
Lamont Yakey.
In front of order.
Before he reached the wall.
Point of order. Before he reached the roll, yeah. Point of order. Did you call him?
Sure.
Shouldn't we seat the new members before we call the roll? Welcome new members.
Welcome.
But I don't think it makes sense to call the roll before you seat the members. It's just an order of precedence. You build a foundation before you build a house.
He has a point. I haven't had it. Okay, sir. After the roll.
We have 16 presents. According to my preemptory
process. I hope I'm not too late to introduce the new members. We have two new members, Nancy and Ron. Their last name, Nancy Kazar and Ron Friestenbach. Would you like to make a statement? A brief statement? Welcome to the board.
Come on, sure. Happy to be here. You know, I run into Dutch
and
Ken. Microphone. Oh, sorry. I run into Dutch and Ken, and I wasn't expecting to be part of the board, so I'm very happy to be here. I hope my participation helps to enhance whatever the goals of this board are.
Speak to the mic.
I hope that my participation helps to enhance the objectives that this board has in mind for this year until the next, I believe the next election is in next year in December. I mean, in January, something like that. I'm sorry.
One never knows.
Anyways, I'm happy to be here, and I hope, you know, I'll help, as I said, to enhance the objectives of the board. Thank you.
I'm Ronald Friestenbach, and I have the honor of being here about the same time that Israel started KPFK. I think we both started right at the start, didn't we? Almost. I'm not positive, but I almost was at the start. So I know he served on the board, so I'm catching up with him.
Welcome.
We will move to item 1B, excuse absence request.
I just wanted to make a motion that we thank Marty Murray and Kevin Stimio in their service to the board.
Second.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye. Any objections? Okay, we have three requests for excused absences. Crenshaw, Medina, and Dutch Merrick.
Move to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any objections? Seeing none? Oh. Are you objecting?
I'm just counting the people who have 16 people.
So moved. Next item, approval of the agenda. everybody had a chance to look at the agenda? Does everybody have an agenda? There's extras also. There's a stack back there. If anybody needs
one. Here.
Okay, so you don't have one.
It occurs to me we might need a full 3 hours if something is complicated with the budget. So I propose we extend it by 3 minutes.
Would you like to make motions to extend as we go along, or would you like to?
I move that we schedule a 3-hour meeting given the complexity of the budget and how much. The way we've had so far, I think it's just a little hard to start without even 3 hours.
Are you able to define where you'd like to make an amendment to the agenda?
Probably in the board discussion. Just have the board discussion. Just extend the board discussion. Good hour.
Is there a second?
A second.
Are there any objections?
Well, are we going to vote on it? Yeah, I object unless we're going to vote. So if there are objections, then you vote.
I object.
Okay, we'll take a vote. Those in favor of extending item number 8, the board discussion of the budget, from 30 minutes to an hour, please raise your hand.
Madam Chair,
yes.
If I could just add this.
Please do the mic.
Oh. If I could just add this. Discussion in order, because I would like to hear why the people are objecting before I call my vote.
Lydia?
Because we have received the budget, those of us that check our email and have reviewed it, and we've had intermittent discussions about various items throughout the year. Someone has listened to the National Finance Committee, listened to all of the variables. And so I don't think, I mean, most of us are well informed. I think that half hour is good to ask questions and whatever, but I think it should be sufficient. I think we need to learn to attend to our business more efficiently. I know it's a large group. Some of us have to get up early and go to work, and we're tired. We still have drives home, and so on and so forth. So when we have evening meetings, I think that we need to be more efficient about our time along. But we've had some of this material and some of the discussion online that I know the most important thing here for me is to inform any of the listeners and to have it taped, because that's what's been lacking. But most of us have had access to the information, with the exception of asking some important questions of the chance.
Are you going to speak to why you wanted this question?
No, I thought okay. We were done with that question.
Okay.
I'm speaking to the agenda.
We'll take a vote. Those in favor of adding 30 minutes to item number 8, board discussion of budget, please do so for an hour. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. Those opposed to extending item number 8 from 30 minutes to 60 minutes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Abstentions?
3. 3
abstentions?
So the motion fails.
Yes. Okay. Did it pass? No.
No. I move the adoption of the agenda.
Is there a second?
I would like to request propose an amendment to the agenda. Am I allowed to do that?
Go ahead.
I think that if we're not going to have an extra half an hour for this body to deliberate and discuss the budget, I certainly don't think that we need, because this is a special meeting for this purpose, I don't think that we need to allocate a half an hour for public comment. It's just going to be the same folks, yet not talking about the same stuff, and I think that we can reduce that to 5 minutes. So my motion is to reduce the public comment to 5 minutes at the end.
Yes, one of the reasons that we don't have the phone meetings, and the only reason we have in-person meetings even at the national board, the bylaw, is to meet open meeting requirements and CPD requirements for the listeners, for the audience to be able to interact with the board.
Would be fine if listeners showed up, but there's not, it's just the same old people.
Okay, so then it's incumbent on all of us as board members to start inviting listeners to the degree that we can, and but we are tied to that. I think it's a good rule to have, but absolutely, that's the purpose of having open meetings, is to have that public interaction. And at the national board level, the only reason we can kind of, quote unquote, get away with that format of having the phone meeting is because anyone can write to the PMB, including during the meeting, and ask questions to pmb@pacifica.org in the course of the meeting. The LSB list is closed. So, to the audience. But anyway,
there you go. There's a motion on the floor and it's seconded to adopt the agenda as proposed.
I have my hand up. Are you amending, making an amendment to the agenda?
Okay.
I'm waiting for a second.
Prior to the other motion being made.
Right.
But I don't care. Whatever moves the agenda, whatever gets us there quicker, I really don't care. I hate blabbering.
The question is there a second?
Can you use the mic or speak loudly either way?
Is there a second to Mr. Condon's motion to not move?
If the motion's out of order, it doesn't matter if it has a second.
Okay, we will go back. Mr. Lassie's motion?
The motion has been seconded to adopt the agenda.
Is there an objection to adopting the agenda as is?
I just want to say, relative to extending time, I'm neither for or against it at this present time. It is something that, if at the end of the meeting, if we haven't finished everything, I would like to allow that that could happen if people wanted a discussion to continue.
I'm asking for objections. The agenda is adopted.
Yeah. Alright.
Seeing none, the agenda is approved. Ground rules for communication. Given the history since January, I ask that board members who may speak very ambitiously and override out of their turn, that they please hear this message and be mindful and respectful if the gavel is tapped, so that everybody is given the same respect. Thank you. And we can move this agenda in due time. And that everybody please let's focus on this and get this done. Thank you. We move to the next item, scheduling location, the next meeting. The next meeting is 1 week from this evening. There will be a change of location from here. It will be at Craft Community Center at 7825 Southwestern Avenue in Los Angeles. That's in South LA. The zip code is 90047. That's at 7 p.m. And we will move on to item number three, the general manager's presentation of the fiscal year 2014 budget.
Thank you.
I won't take up the time allotted because everybody's had the budget for some time and had a chance to look over it. I just want to explain a couple of things that may help people to understand some of the things they don't understand. Those of you who are familiar with Excel, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Excel, but this budget is constructed from a template that is derived and drafted by the National Office Finance Team. It had a front page, this one, budget, tab is budget financial year 2014, but the front page is informed by the other tabs that make it up, and there are several. Michael asked me earlier today if I would be able to print out the tabs as well as the budget, but that would have taken a small forest, I imagine. So I said it was probably easier for me to bring it here. If you look at where my cursor is sitting now, it's sitting on October 13 income, just that first cell up the top, right there, and it crosses now. If you have a look at that...
Wait, can you enlarge it?
No, I can't.
Too small.
No, I cannot.
Why not?
Because we can't move that back any further because my cord
is... No.
I want to show the whole thing at once. I don't want to enlarge it and crop
let's
out.
Let the manager make the report the way he cares to make the report.
There's a seat here. Well, no, not everybody can see. Maybe some people are interested.
This is how crooked is our seat, doesn't it?
Never mind, I have a hard copy. I'll pull out my
hard
copy.
Well, the only thing I want to draw to people's attention is that when you see where that cursor is sitting, that is a number in a cell. If you look in the dialog box, which is up the top, it says business report collection, exclamation mark, H229, whatever. And it comes from a different tab, it comes from a different sheet and is translated forward to this sheet. Pretty much the whole budget is drafted on that basis. What I want to explain to you now is how that comes about. We assume that number will be the number because it's calculated based on the assumption and additional information. On that tab, we enter what we think, how many fund drives we think we will have, how long they will be, and what we think they will make. That front page also draws its calculation from a number of other tabs, including community events, from major donors, and obviously we have to make some assumptions on this based on past experience. It takes car donations, it takes any number of things that come from different tabs, and in fact, if I go back to the front page, I can show you that if I move the cursor somewhere else, it'll show you again, this is CPV funding. It comes from the assumptions and additional information cell $46. So that means that the calculations, the sum that we expect is added in there as a number, and the translations go through coming to this front page. So you can't just plug numbers into this page and expect them to work. And a very good example of why that is so, and a very good indication, is that there is a reconciliation tab on this, which when you look at it, the bottom line of this has to be zero for everything to balance. And if you look along line 31, you'll see that everything on our reconciliation for this budget is a zero. Mm-hmm. So it reconciles. I want to show you this compared to the budget that was presented by the DNB last year, where, as you can see, numbers were simply plugged in, not calculations. And when I take you to the reconciliations on that particular budget, I want you to look at the bottom line of it, line 31, which has to be zero. So I'm just indicating that to you to show you how thought through the budget that was presented to us from the National Finance Committee was last year. This budget is not like that. This budget contains assumptions based on what we've had throughout the year, and based on those, the numbers that are entered are derived from the formulas that are brought forward by the other tabs. I hope I haven't left anybody behind. I've only learned this myself in the last 2 or 3 years. So basically, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a projected income that's derived from all of the calculations throughout. We're looking at projected outgoings that's derived from all the numbers throughout. We believe that these are accurate and realistic, as accurate as we can be at this stage, and that is kind of why the budget looks like it does. And I apologize to Ron and our new member, Nancy, for not having had this for as long as the other members, but you were kind of new on the block, so you were a little bit behind the eight ball there, but I know you've got significant training in this area. I think I read some of your background. I don't want to talk too long about this. I think it's more important that you ask me questions about it, and if I can give you the answers, I most certainly will. But I think this is a far more realistic budget than we had last year, and also partly the year before that. I know a number of you are aware, and I want to draw this to your attention, I know a number of you are aware that it's quite likely I won't be the manager who sees this budget through to the end. So I'm expecting you to take that into account when you ask me questions about what I think will happen over the coming year. That's all I really wanted to say.
I'm done for that. Okay, we'll take comments from the public. Do you have a question for the general manager? Hi, this is Bill Rubenstein, and I am a bookkeeper, as most of you know. I am familiar with these numbers. I have been complaining for many years as to the format. This format is so confusing. It's no wonder Pacifica is losing so much. But let me get to the actual question. I began taking net differences between 2013 actual and forecast 2014. The numbers are ludicrous. They are overbloated. And I came up with the difference of, well, I did finish my task in such a short time because I needed to continue. The last time I looked at a specific budget, which was just a few months ago, I noticed that our expenses were at 74% of revenue. No one can survive at that. So, first of all, when I look at the income, the summary of the income, you have other income. I want to see itemization of what that other is. And you have been asked, and so has the National, been asked as to distinguishing between a receivable, which is aged, and what is actually paid now, what has been collected now. So those are two areas that are very, very key and have been asked by several people. I have asked for it before. And why is it that we don't have a balance sheet? No, you make sense.
Just two comments. One, since I haven't seen this before, I don't know if anybody has outside of the board, I haven't seen it posted. I'm just commenting that it's hard for anybody to make any important comments in detail when you haven't seen it before, which I think in the future it's even. Henceforth, if you can post it on online and draw people's attention to it, it would be useful. Maybe I missed it, I didn't see it. The other thing is any account being taken of the overall Pacifica crisis, particularly WBAI, that in making this budget up, is there any consideration now or possibly changes during the course of the year because of the financial crisis and especially in regard to WBAI? That's a question I'm asking. First is a statement, second is a question.
Hello, I'm Maria, and I'm glad to be here. And I have never been to this meeting before. And I'm new to these figures, so I can't comment on them. I don't know if everybody knows who actually makes up the budget, which people are the ones, and what importance of what skills that they have. And second thing is that I was glad that I happened to hear an announcement about this meeting saying that there was 30 minutes of public comment for the public. So that's why we're here. So we're glad that it was announced, and I'm glad that I caught it. Thank you.
Yes, I noticed on the assumption page we were calculating an 82% fulfillment on pledges, which I know on over the long term is historically accurate for KPSK, although that's a higher than average for Pacifica. I'm wondering if that figure is accurate for this past year, which is post the economic crash. If we're still doing that high of a fulfillment rate.
This is Bernie. This is a very thin sheet. I'm very familiar with Excel, as I imagine many people here are. We know what formulas are and how they flow through from one, can flow through from one sheet to another. So what I think is important, I'm not a bookkeeper. I really appreciate the remarks about having additional information like a balance sheet, maybe cash flow also. But it's really important not to look at this thin sheet, but to look at what the assumptions are. That's what you guys need to do. What are the assumptions? And this is just raised. And I just want to emphasize that because the assumptions are critical to how the numbers appear on this
picture.
They're unrealistic. I just have a few comments to make. Bella, I agree with you. I think this is an extremely cumbersome tool. I think it could be a lot easier tool. And I think it should be. But it's what we have, and it's what we have to work with right now until something changes. In addition to that, this sheet is based on last year's sheet, which was put together by the National Office. Then it was Ephraim Marina in that office. He used to work at KPOK, by the way. But this year, our new CFO came on board quite late in the piece and was unfamiliar with this and asked everybody just to use the previous year. Anthony Iberoma, our business manager locally, plugs in the numbers he can plug in. Some of them are done at a National Office level. Well, I can't exactly remember. I think you're talking about the network as a whole, the foundation as a whole. I didn't consider the health of the foundation when Anthony and I were working on this, not as a group, because we have to look after ourselves here, and as you see, the National Office views flow through, and the more we make, the more we pay. So hopefully that can keep the National Office afloat. I know some are even taking some drastic measures in the last couple of weeks at BAI that will lead to savings there. I still think there's serious danger with respect to both station, and none of us are out of the woods. So, there's a lot of work to be done on that, too. Maria,
who actually does all the work?
The business manager locally and the business people in the National Office.
You by yourself here.
Not me, the business manager, Andrew.
I'm sorry. The business manager's name is
Anthony Iberoma.
Thank you.
And Terry, the fulfillment rate has been lower than 82% in the past year or two. Some of that, I think, is down to the fact that so many people are paying by installments, and so the fulfillment actually can't be looked at across the year until the end of the year. That's my view of it anyway. But I think if we institute, as I plan to, a call out system to go for unfulfilled pledges and we get some return on that, then we can keep it up around that level.
Thank you. That was item number 5. So we move to item number 6, the treasure analysis of the fiscal year 2014 budget.
I just have one question to ask before, because I need to know this to base the next bit of information on.
Want a log check?
Can I ask a question?
Want a log check?
Your question is to the GM?
Yes.
Before we move on, I
would like to ask him a question.
Well, yeah, point of order, have preference.
Go ahead.
We adopted the agenda as is, and I think, to step out of that agenda would create a...
We can do it during board discussion. So we'll go ahead and move to the treasurer.
So just a little bit of history. There was an early draft of this budget that had a much more ambitious set of expectations as to how much listener support we could generate. There was a discussion at the Finance Committee. We asked to see more explanation of some of the expectations. The management revised the budget, essentially reducing payroll by cutting two positions, which is about $140,000 in savings, and a commensurate reduction in the expectation of how much listening support we could generate to a level which, although it's a little higher than this year, seems realistic based on the success of the previous two fund drives, one of which came in about $150,000 over goal, and I think the current mini drive is proceeding fairly well for the figures we've seen. The larger question that people have addressed, I think, is really long term before us. The new CFO role, Salvador, came in into a situation which is not only a crisis because of WBAI, but generally a fiscal mess at the national level, and his main priority until really last night was the audit of the 2012 fiscal year, not the current year, but the prior one, for which they had gaping holes of lack of information from many of the stations and had to reconstruct almost from scratch, with the result that we haven't gotten our CTV funding yet because we don't have an audit for them to look at and determine whether our previous grant's valid. So his priority has been to complete, get that audit completed, and that has basically been done. Maybe Fred Blair came in and tell us something from the audit committee. But he can now turn his attention to some of these other glaring problems. I've been trying to put forward for several years the need for having some kind of strategic budgeting where your budget is not based on a set of formulas and templates, but based on what the station is trying to accomplish and what our capacity to generate support for the community is to accomplish those goals. And that's very, very difficult to do with this document because this document is just kind of cut and paste and reflected from things that come down from national. I think it is a fairly accurate reflection of the support we can expect from listeners in the coming year. As far as the overall crisis of Pacifica, I think what Bernard said, people need to understand, in most foundations, the national foundation raises money and supports various projects that it carries out. Pacifica is the opposite. 99% of the money is raised by each of the stations, and then the stations send money to the foundation to support it. And so the more money we can raise as the station, it's a fact, so the more money Pacifica gets to carry out its business. And, you know, whatever stuff you can roll that kind of business from, that's what we've been living with for, you know, 60 years. So, this station has tried to carry its weight and been asked several times to add days to the fund drive to support the Pacifica Radio Archives because Radio Archives haven't gotten money from WBAI, CFW, in several years, and they're creating budgets that show a certain amount of support with which to write grants, and then they have to get support from us, essentially. So that's where some of the things stand. You know, I think there are... I was concerned that and I just got a chance to look at this because I've been ill and trying to deal with the lingering infection. But if you can pick up the assumptions tab quickly, I don't think it reflected the changes that got made in anticipated listeners' support. At the bottom it does, but if you add up the columns, they add up to actually quite a bit more than you have at the bottom. And I look at it in
G column. Are you looking at G?
$2,000,009, and then $520, and that's more than $2,000,009. So,
okay.
Anyway.
What page are you on? What page
is it? It's
there. Can you read those dates, Novick? I can't see them from here. October what? For to what?
August 2013.
No.
Oh, there's more than a year on the curve.
This year. Started October 13.
Oh, I see. Well, all right. I'm
waiting for that.
G20 to G31.
Can you read them out?
The dates are October 2013, anticipated $1 million.
Wait. October, what are the dates?
8 to 28.
And the goal is a million?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one? And then the average is 39.048 per day?
The magnifying glass.
Yes, I can read it out. December 2013 is a start date of December 3rd, end date of December 16th. That's a total of 14 days. The anticipated goal is about 550,000. That was the 82% fulfillment rate. That's eventually going to materialize 451,000.
What's the per day?
Per day is 32,000.
Even?
No, 34,214.
Okay. The next one?
February 2014, starting on February 8th, ending on the 27th. That's a 20-day full-length drive. That's anticipated goal of 900,000. At the 82%, that's 738,000 with a per day of 36,900. May 2014, starting on the 6th, ending on the 26th, 21-day drive, $1 million, 82% is $820,000 per day, $39,048.
39?
Yeah. And then the final drive of the year would be in August of next year, 2014, starting on the 6th, ending on the 18th, 13-day mini drive, with a goal again of about $520,000, 82% would be $426,400, and per day of $13,800.
Michael,
question.
Sorry,
I
just added in the top one,
which
I just forgot
that
this would be
the
magic.
Michael, question.
Hey,
you said you requested the cutting of two positions earlier, is that correct?
Request anything.
Okay, well, could you make your, you made a comment there about requests were made. I remember that. I was trying to understand. I was looking at the budget here as well. I was kind of...
The finance committee requested clarification on the level of that is listed support and the way we're generating some of that support off air that the management proposed. That was submitted to all of us. We got a document from the management explaining the difference off air fundraising that was anticipated. In addition, management then came up with a budget based on reducing key positions.
Well, I just looked at this budget, and there currently are, again, the full-time equivalents I couldn't find. I found the slot, but the full-time equivalents were empty. My first question is, how many full-time equivalent employees does this budget have? And does this budget still have 5 assistant managers? So we're with the general manager plus 5, that's 6 people out of, let's say, 30 people. That's 20% overhead of managers. My question really comes down to where's the full-time equivalent figures? And who knows that? Maybe Werner knows, maybe, you know, Michael. I just want to know what that number is so we can figure out what the management overhead is.
I could probably tell you what that was, but I don't think it's fair if you asked me a question and Kim wasn't allowed to ask me a question.
Okay, so we'll move to public comment. Michael, you said $111,000 would be the savings from the two positions eliminated.
$140,000?
$140,000. $140,000. Okay, $140,000. Let me ask, does anybody know the 19 people that were let go at WBAI, where the total savings are for WBAI and the network as a whole? Does anyone have any idea? Anyone? Any takers? I don't either. And I was hoping that somebody here would have an idea. And the reason being that we should not have any paid programmers anywhere because the mission is for volunteers.
Yes.
It is the reason why everything has been upside down for so many years because volunteers are not regarded as the meat and potatoes of the foundation. In fact, the reason why we are in such a turbulent time within the Pacific Ops Foundation is because our resources have been dedicated, earmarked for paying programmers who are favored, and these are the very people that have managed to stake out script programs. At KPFK locally, we've got 3 of them. Zanika Hodgar, Ian Masters, Margaret Prescott. Why should these people be receiving a paycheck while the lack of respect is rendered and lack of resources and attention to all the volunteer programmers? Now, do you see that dichotomy there? So I say, let them all go, except for the skeleton staff that needs to manage the station. And their prime reason for being there is to groom, to outreach, and promote volunteers to enter into the fray and open up the space, the airspace. Thank you. And I ask all of you to vote no against this budget.
Thank you.
I thought the board would vote yes on this budget. I'm not a bookkeeper, and any attempt to work on this kind of complex material, I would say commendable, except that I want to ask, well, by the way, I just want to make a remark about what one of the board members said, who was saying that he did not see the need for this length of time for public comment. This is the kind of comments that encourages people from coming to the LLC, and I think you should refrain from making such comments. You cannot group all the members of the public together to say these are the same people. I do not know those you are referring to as the same people who are always there to make comments. But the general manager, I just want to find out if you can translate this budget in terms of what are you looking at in terms of professionalism, outreach to the community, what are some of the specific things that will come out of this budget? That is my area of interest.
So I'm thinking a bit of the text, obviously. I noticed under local board elections, am I reading this right, that there's no significant allocation in this budget for elections? Is this a wish list or a reality point? Kindly explain this. And I'm as unhappy as many of you are with the state of our bylaws and the elections and the board, but nevertheless, what are the facts about this? And once again, I want to say it would be helpful if you really want to listen into it. And there's some listeners here who can do some help, I think. If the matter is publicly well in advance, not just for the last minute, but for a few people, I could borrow a copy from someone. So the question about the election thing I have in the notice.
If I just take a second, this copy is going to be handed over to my lawyer, and I think it's a more detailed. Perhaps we answer some of the questions that I was asking.
I'll take a minute to respond to you were responding to my comment. I had a motion planned to introduce last month, but we failed to have a quorum at our special budget meeting, which was to call for a strategic discussion by management, staff, governance, and listeners about what level of paid staffing was appropriate for a station like the KPFK and how that staffing should be allocated. I don't think that's a decision we can make around this table today. And although I agree with the general sentiment expressed about the need for more volunteers and for paid staff that can train people and focus on that, the rationale that currently exists is that people are paid as producers, not as programmers. And we have quite a number of paid producers. And we don't have paid programs. So,
I meant to say
there is a distinction. We do want to pay producers. We want to pay producers who will work with the community to produce community radio. So, but that's a longer discussion than we're going to have in this document. The other brief point I want to make is that the National Planning Committee was expected to see figures for the election, if necessary, for this year. Each station is different. If we actually have remaining from the current fiscal year sufficient cash to cover the election, which is supposed to begin in this current fiscal year and extend into the next one, that money can be spent going forward into the next fiscal year from the budget that we adopted for the last fiscal year. But if it's necessary for stations to cover additional expenses, particularly for a local election supervisor that would extend possibly into January, then those figures shouldn't be in this budget. So it's a question for management as to whether they feel they have sufficient funds remaining from the current fiscal year to cover this year's election. But this year's election is expected to take place before the date suggested. We're not sure of the exact date, but there is a proposal from the National PND Elections Committee and the PND Governance Committee that we commenced on September 1st and follow the timetable that exists in the bylaws, just delayed from June 1st to September 1st and everything else proceeding by the bylaws.
So we will move to item number 8 for discussion of the budget. Dr. Wenger,
Last year at this time, when we spoke about our desire to have 12-hour local news, and in response to that, management gave us 15 minutes of local news. We now have a full year to be progress on this issue. So my additional question is, in addition to making sure that our budget is within our expectations of revenue, are there plans to increase the amount of local news from the 15 minutes? Because we've been down from an hour for about 6 or 7 years now since Sean Heitkamp left. And so that remains a pressing interest. And I know that this is an area that pretty much the entire board supports this concept. So I'm going to add that to my other question, which was, are we still at, where are the full-time equivalent figures in this budget? I have the July 15th budget in front of me here, and I can't find the full-time. I found an empty slot for full-time equivalents. Our budget, of course, has the salary information redacted because current P&B policy only allows the treasurer to share with the LSV members the budget within a $3,000 budget factor. The P&B governance committee last week passed a motion asking the P&B to consider opening up this information to all LSV members, and I thank Lawrence and Lydia for their support of my amendment, and it was unanimous for this whole thing here. So I know we can't share that information with the public and in an open session, but there's a real problem in doing this budgetary analysis when we cannot see the numbers. Our fiduciary responsibility is to look at these numbers so we don't get to see them in any detail. That's a major problem. So once again, what is the full-time equivalent? What is the proportion? So we can calculate the proportion of management. Are we increasing the news? Are we continuing with the 5 assistant managers?
My profession is that as a social worker, so I'm not completely attuned to the financial matters of such a budget like this. But I do have some practical concerns. And my concern is that I didn't hear any recommendations in regard to some of the items that are on there. And being in a union, or being a union organizer and a bargainer right now, we're in collective bargaining right now as it is, I don't see any recommendations. I don't see nothing on the table. All I hear is, all I see is a spreadsheet that goes back and forth, that gets pasted and that gets cut in. But I don't hear any recommendations from the treasurer or yourself. I don't hear any allocation in terms of, what it is that you want us to do, whether you're recommending this budget or not. And then the other question I have is in regards to the local board elections and how there's nothing budgeted, and we just we're trying to pass our timeline. Well, we did pass the timeline in the governance committee to have these elections. And there's nothing budgeted. I see the expense of the last elections that you have in here. I do see that, but I don't. And maybe this is something that we could do tonight. It's proposed a certain amount of, like Michael was saying, proposed a certain amount of money that could cover these elections. And now, we're just going to have a growing board. We're just going to have a board that's built with, people who aren't being elected by this.
I sent two handouts here. One are more accurate. Steve and I worked on these numbers. We went over the actuals for July, and some of us who have been on the finance committee, we've had to revise them sort of all this year for mistakes. And, I just want to point out that we're at a net deficit of we're in a net deficit right now of $114,000. So when you're asking if we have any money left over, we're in a minus position, though, but we're spending to pay the bills right now, okay? We spent more than we brought in this year. And so I have also, the second document is I took the management's budget numbers. And by the way, the budget number there, the projected 2013 number, those are last year's numbers. So I did, on this sheet I gave you, this year's projected numbers for 2013 based on the actual. And then I took those numbers and compared to the budget numbers, and you'll see a difference based on the projected actuals, not just, I don't know where some of these numbers come from. I put in the election expenses. If there is an election, we will not be paying for it in the month of September. We have a month and a half until the end of the year, this fiscal year. So I put that in to these numbers on the budget. I don't see any reason to support this list of revenues. In fact, looking this last year for the last October drive, the total pledges we got was $900,000. In February, it was $922,000. And Navy did well at 1.033. The fulfillment rate for these drives is respectively 78%, 72%, 62%, and 57%. So the 82% takes about 2 or 3 years to get there. So this is not like cash in the bank. So I can't recommend this unsupported listener amount. I might be even more inclined to say, well, our new transmitter is going to bring in all these new listeners, but we're having transmitter problems that I'm not sure when will be fixed. And then the development costs are very unrealistic, specifically the premium. We will have spent approximately $500,000 for this year, which is about double for our budget. Not quite double, but significantly higher. So to just take out $200,000 next year makes no sense. I don't understand how we've got $500,000 to make the amount of money that we've raised this year, which presently is 2.6. We're 2.687 million. Maybe we'll get to 3 million at the end of the year.
35.
This is a number that needs to be revised because I don't know how you can make more money with less premiums when we're spending twice as much as the budget. If anybody can't read these numbers, you can ask me, but these are more accurate numbers. And that's it for right now.
Would you like to respond, Barry?
I was under the impression this was board discussion, but it's question and answer.
Can you take the question from
Bob? Oh, can we take the question?
I can tell you, John, the desire is to have an hour of local news and hourly news headlines. Quite true to that. That's the desire. But as you said, the newsroom was decimated. We can't do it on the staff we have. So we will need to change things around if we could do that. And we can plan to do that. And my intention was always to go back to a full news hour in the evening and bulletins during the day. And it remains that way. I just have to, we have to figure out how to do it. We simply can't do it with 1.5K journalists and 3 volunteers. Not possible. With respect to the FTE, it's about 24, I think, at this stage. And the other question you asked was about what the impact or where the impact would be, what Michael said was to be two paid positions disappearing, and of course I can't discuss that in a public meeting.
I guess the question would be is if we're
if our full-time equivalent is 24 people, but then we have six managers, 6 out of 24 is 25%. And so that strikes me as an awfully high management overhead, and money is conservative. You know, the but even for a Democrat or even a socialist, 25% management just seems way high.
Way high.
And so the question is, I mean, even Messenger, well, I don't know, in virtually any party would say 25% is high management overhead. So the question is, are these layoffs going to be from the management sector or from the non-management sector?
Obviously, I thought I'd do that.
Well, we're going to need to know that at some point. Can we have that in closed session?
I guess we could have a discussion about that closed session, but I can't talk about it yet.
Okay. So would you address the issue of the philosophy of 25% management overhead?
I don't necessarily disagree.
Answering
your question? Lawrence, I appreciate everything that you mentioned, and I think that there is an area there that needs to have discussion around this table and needs to be talked about. And decisions need to be come through in terms of outreach and various other things that you've discussed, but I think that this is the forum to do it. I don't think that I've decided to do it, but I think
that
this is the forum.
I can't understand you about that, Beth. I'm sorry. Talk to all of us,
but it's simple. Can everybody not understand me?
I'm the only one that's stupid around here.
And that's not stupid.
I'm
not stupid.
It's just a matter of hearing.
Well, I will speak more slowly. You can make more money and spend less money on premiums by reducing the cost of your premium. And also the recent fund drives have, the average daily income from fund drives since the last one, the May-June one, was $44,000. That was the average cost of fund drive daily. You'll see that my assumptions say I'm between 32 and 38 for next year, so I think that's kind of conservative in terms of income. Since yesterday, the first day of the drive, which is only a 6 a.m. start, not a midnight start, brought in about $36,000. When I left the station today at 6 o'clock after Ian's program, we were sitting on 32 or 33. So we should go close to 40 today, but it wasn't coming up tonight. So I think that, I think the average is coming up, and I think we can manage to keep that up. And I think there's a variety of reasons for that. One of them is, as you said, the transmission footprint is bigger than it was last year.
It's not
a transmitter problem. The footprint is just as big. The problem, I don't want to go into detail about the studio to transmitter link, but that's what the problem is. But anyway, that's the basis of the answer to your question.
Okay, well,
I
wanted to just make a comment from a national board perspective also. Some of the things that we have heard from our CFO, and this is all recorded, so it is in public session at our various board meetings, but there is a profound recognition of the fact that what gets us in trouble is our cash flow issue, as happens to be the case right now. And so our CFO, and for example, if the audit is late, we don't get our CPD money, and now there's a new dynamic of the larger price premiums that are being paid over time, blah, blah. So there's all these issues. But the CFO is also committed to create a cash flow projection based on the reality of Pacifica. So most nonprofits do very well in January, and that's when we are always in the worst trouble. And got into some serious trouble last year vis-a-vis payroll and so forth. So